this going on in the church, and this would really help people. But I'm so glad that you're here, because God must have thought that y'all needed it. Praise God. It's not just you, me also. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about roadblocks and strongholds in our lives. And if you've got in your life, and there's a place that you've come to where you're just not moving forward in God, there's got to be something there. There's got to be a reason why you're not moving forward in God. And we're going to call that a stronghold. A stronghold, let me give you a definition here. It can be anything that keeps us from moving forward with God and keeps us in defiance of His ways. It can be an attitude, a thought process, a belief. It can be a habit. It can be anything like that. It can be anything that is keeping you from moving forward in your relationship with the Lord. I want you to think of this. I want you to picture a brick wall. But before the brick wall, somebody had to lay that brick wall, didn't they? They had to lay one brick at a time. A stronghold in your life can be started one brick at a time. And if it's not dealt with quickly, it's going to be built on and built on and built on until it can be a huge wall in your life. I've had some in my own life, some pretty big strongholds. And sometimes, you know, when you deal with things quickly, you know, that brick wall is going to go down fast. I mean, those bricks are going to be scattered. But if you wait, sometimes it takes you chipping away at that brick wall over and over and over again until it breaks down. So we're going to be talking about some of those things. Now, I want you to understand this. A stronghold is not from God. It's from the enemy. A stronghold is from the kingdom of darkness. So you don't want to embrace the strongholds in your life. You want to recognize that they are from the enemy. You know, just because we plead ignorance doesn't mean we're not responsible. You know, God says he wants us to be aware of the enemy's ways and how he works in our life. But he also wants you to be aware of the power that we have in Jesus Christ and in his name and in his blood and in the power of his Holy Spirit. God wants us to know that there's nothing in our lives that God has not already dealt with and taken care of. If we will listen to the Lord, he can help us to break down these strongholds in our lives, and we can move forward in God. I want to just reiterate this. I said this last Sunday, but Jesus is coming soon. And I really believe he's coming in our lifetime. Every prophet I know of, other pastors I know of, they are speaking that God is coming soon. And we all believe it's in our lifetime. Let me give you a brief history here. This is from the Jews and their own beliefs. They believed after the first 2,000 years after Adam and Eve came on the scene, I'm not sure exactly what something was supposed to happen after that, after 2,000 years. I can't remember what it was. But then another 2,000 years was supposed to pass. And is everything okay? Oh, okay. Okay. Another 2,000 years, so 4,000 years, the Jews knew that a Messiah was supposed to come. To this day, they believe that they missed it. They did something wrong, and the Messiah didn't come. But we know better, don't we? We know that he did come. And they also believe that after he came another 2,000 years, then we were going to be up with this earth, and we were going to have what we call the 1,000-year reign before Satan is completely defeated. So I want you to know, the Jews know that we are in that time. 6,000 years, there was a lease given to Adam and Eve. God gave this earth to Adam and Eve for a lease of 6,000 years. Okay? He said, I want you to take dominion over it. I want you to be the head, be the authority, be the king over this world for 6,000 years. But we know that didn't happen, right? We know that what happened is that Adam and Eve gave up their power and authority to the enemy, to the devil. So who has the lease now? The devil has a right to be here for 6,000 years. That's why he's been here in our faces for 6,000 years. He's been on the scene. But we know that his time is coming to an end. And we are in that time where Jesus Christ is coming. If you are not ready for his return, you need to get ready. Because I'm telling you, God is speaking to everybody and telling them, tell them I'm coming. Tell them I'm coming. Tell them I'm coming. I told you about a man that died in a car wreck in 1984. Every bone in his body was broken, and he was dead for 8 hours. Actually, almost 8.5 hours. Completely dead in the hospital. This has been, put on the news. It's been all the people in the hospital have, confirmed this. This is not something that I'm telling you that's not true. This guy was dead for 8.5 hours. The Lord took him to heaven, showed him all these wonderful things, but he also told him, he said, I am coming back for my church in your lifetime. So tell them to get ready, to be prepared. He, at that time, when he was telling this story, he was 62. It's 3 years ago, so he's 65 years old. 65, 66, right around there. So can you tell me how short we have on this earth? I mean, I believe this man. He was a very godly man. He's well known in all the circles. But it's not just him that's saying this. There are many, 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 many people saying the time has come. It's at hand. All the signs, all the things that are going to have to happen are going to happen in our lifetime. They're going to have to happen quickly because the 6,000 years is up. There's a grace period there. We don't know the give or take of God's timetable, but there's a grace there that he's getting his church ready, and we've got to be ready for it. We've got to be ready for his return. We can't be sitting in our pews doing nothing. We've got to get out there, and we have got to let the world know that Christ is coming soon. But you know what? He's not going to come for a church that is beaten down, that has no power in it. He's coming for a church that will rise up and begin to show who Jesus Christ is in their life. He's coming for a church without spot or blemish or wrinkle. He's coming for a church that can lay hands on the sick. He's coming for a church that can raise the dead. He's coming for a church that will be bold in who they are in Christ Jesus. Are we there yet? We're not there yet because we've got strongholds in our life. We've got misconceptions of things in our life and thinking that there's no way that we can get rid of these things to be all that God has called us to be. That's a lie from the enemy. The enemy would try to get you to think that the strongholds are just a part of you. It's a lie. It's not a part of you. We've got to get to the place where we are strong and we are bold and Jesus Christ would not be ashamed to come get us. And we're going to have to do a quick work. I believe that God is going to do a quick work among us. If you've accepted the Lord just recently, well, welcome. You're going to excel a lot faster than we have in the past because God is coming for a church that's ready for him. Now, strongholds, I'm going to tell you about strongholds. Strongholds can be problems that you have in relationships. Maybe you have relationships and it's a continual thing and you can't seem to break it. Maybe you're constantly sick in your body and you can't seem to get healing. Strongholds can be bad tempers. You know, if you got a bad temper, it's hard for you to move on with the Lord. Maybe you've got a stronghold of fear in your life, which I had a stronghold of that in my life. And you know what? If I would have let that thing control me, if I would have not gotten rid of that stronghold in my life, I would not be doing God's purpose in my life today. I would be sitting in that pew begging God never to call on my name because I was too afraid to speak out. But I'm telling you today that if God can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. And we want to break down those strongholds. Now, you've got to be ready to get rid of these strongholds. You can't be petting them. They could be things in your life that you live with all of your life and you think that it's part of you. No. If it's keeping you from moving forward, it's not a part of you. It's part of the kingdom of darkness and it can be destroyed. You got to quit being comfortable with these areas. You know, my mom, I love my mother very much, but she was a worrywart. But she was comfortable worrying. If she wasn't worrying, she wasn't comfortable. She worried about us constantly. But that particular thing of just being comfortable with it hindered her from wanting to let it go because she thought worry was a sign of her love for all of us. She thought her worrying about us showed how much she loved us. But that's not what the word says. The word says what? To cast all your care upon the Lord. The word says to go to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let your requests be made known unto God, doesn't it? And the word says God has not given you a spirit of fear. Is worry not fear? But he's given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So we cannot be comfortable at these areas in our life. Let's go to John 3, 20 and 21. Now, I've got all these wrote down, so that's why I'm not looking at it. Except for a couple. I'm telling you, people, we've got to get ready. We've got to get ready. And we see that the church is not ready by how many people resist obeying the Lord on fellowshipping with one another. We've had really good crowds for quite a while, but then sometimes you have a fall off. But that's just showing that people don't really realize the time that we're in and what they need to be doing with the Lord. It says 3:20 and 21, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But listen to this. It says, but he who does the truth. Are you a child of God? Do you want to do the truth? You come to the light that your deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. You want your deeds to be clearly seen, don't you? Don't you want things to be exposed in your life that aren't from God that you need to get rid of? If you do, say amen. All right, thank you. Hallelujah. When revelation comes through the word, a choice is going to have to be made. Now, the strongholds in your life, you're going to find out what they are. Some of you don't even know what they are right now. But as you begin to walk with the Lord, as you begin to read the word, as you begin to let the Holy Spirit begin to talk with you, you're going to find out what strongholds were in your life. You know, I did not know that fear was a sin. I did not know it was something that God didn't want in my life because I thought that that's just the way life was. That's who I was. But that's not true. I found out through the word and through his Holy Spirit revealing that word to me that that was not part of the new creature that God had made in me. And we're going to talk about that new creature too. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you, when you hear the word, a choice is going to have to be made. You're going to make a choice whether, I don't think I want to go there, Lord. I like that stronghold in my life. I like that. Or you're going to say, God, I want this out of my life. I want to get rid of it. I want to move forward in you. You're going to have to make a choice. If you don't, like we said earlier, if you let that stronghold, God reveals it to you and you ignore it, it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger in your life. The devil will make sure of that because you're in essence giving him permission over your life. And you're saying, I want that in my life. So you're giving him permission. You don't want to do that. You don't want the enemy in your life. So you want to recognize it. You want to go on and go forward with the Lord and say, I want it out of my life. So that's what you got to do. You got to want it out of your life. You got to make the choice to let it out of your life. The next thing you got to do is you got to be absolutely honest with yourself. You cannot be helped if you withhold the truth. I've had so many people that we've ministered to, and they'll reveal half of the truth of their stronghold, but the other part they want to hold on to. They don't want to be completely honest with God or with themselves that they have issues in their lives. But you're not going to be helped at all. You're not going to get rid of the strongholds unless you're completely honest with the Lord. When God's word shines a light on the strongholds, you got to be honest enough to accept the truth that is revealed to you. Let's go to Psalms 32:5. Hallelujah. Psalms 32 and 5. Hallelujah. This is what it says. It says, I acknowledge my sin to you. This is us speaking to the Lord. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. This is really David, but we can translate this into our own life. You go to God and you say, I acknowledge this, God. I acknowledge that this is in my life, and I need to get rid of it. It's a stronghold in my life, and it's got to go. Now, we've already talked about there's many things in our lives, strongholds, that we think are normal, but they're not. If you've got, I'm going to give you some of the hindrances that they come in three categories. Generational. There's a lot of strongholds in our life that come from the generations of our forefathers. And we say, oh, you know, that I'll be that way the rest of my life because my dad was that way. His dad was that way. And, you know, that's just part of our lineage. I'm just going to have to deal with that. No, that's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie. Say that's a lie. All right. So we know that just because you've inherited something or your parents were that way, it doesn't mean you've got to be that way. We've got to realize we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we're going to really get into that in just a minute. But the next category is life's circumstances. You can get strongholds in your life when you've been persecuted, when you've been condemned, when you've been rejected, when you've been unloved. You maybe even have gotten involved in the occult. But these are life circumstances, things that have happened as you've been living your life. They just seem to happen. And they've caused strongholds in your life. The next category is omission and commission. This is when we sin, when we know we're sinning, and even when we don't know we're sinning. And we've allowed strongholds to form in our lives. The enemy comes into our life. We've got to realize this. We have a spiritual battle going on. We are spiritual beings. Even though we live in this body and we think that this body is all that there is, it's not. We are a spiritual being. Our spirit beings will continue to go to move forward even after this body is dead. Whether it's to heaven or to hell, it's going forward. And we've got to realize that we have, as long as we're in this life, we have a spiritual enemy. And the spiritual enemy is the devil. And he is going to come in every chance he can to get a stronghold in your life so he can manipulate you. He can tell you how to live, what to do. And that is his MO. He wants to take control of your life. Because, see, the thing is what we've got to realize is that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he gave every believer the opportunity to have authority over the enemy. See, he still has his lease on this earth. But as a child of God, you have authority over the enemy. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to go to Romans. Now, I've set a backdrop here for strongholds and for roadblocks in your life. But before you can ever knock down the strongholds in your life, you've got to get a new vision of yourself. Say, I want a new vision. I want God's vision for myself. We're going to go to Romans chapter 6. We've got to begin to envision what Christ has done for us so we can really, truly move forward. You know, it's taken me years and years and years of studying and asking the Lord to give me a revelation of what Christ has really done for me to even get the understanding that I have today. And yet I know that I don't have near the understanding that I should. But Romans 6, verses 12 through 14 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin, I want you to say this with me, for sin shall not have dominion over me. For we are not under the law, but under grace. All right, have we got to the place where we understand that strongholds in our lives and roadblocks in our lives are a part of the kingdom of darkness? I've only heard one yes. Do we understand that? So if it's a part of the kingdom of darkness, it's opposing the kingdom of light, correct? So if it's in the kingdom of darkness and it's opposing, would you say that it was sin? The sin opposes God. All right. We have a choice when we're saved. We have a choice to let sin reign in this mortal body of ours and stay instruments of unrighteousness. Or we can present ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. Which one do you want to be? Instrument of righteousness? Let's go to verse 16 in that same chapter. 6:16. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Now skip down to verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Verse 22, 23. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what does all that mean? It means through the blood of Jesus, we've been set free from the power of sin. So we no longer have to be a slave to it. We no longer have to be a slave to the strongholds in our life. We no longer have to be a slave to these things that we thought we were, just generational, that were passed down to us. We no longer have to be a slave to those things. Are you getting that? Do you understand that? Let me explain it another way. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to have to turn there because I didn't write that one down. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7. It says, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now, this is talking about the law that God has laid down in the Word of God. Okay? It says, it has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. Do we understand what that's saying? When you're married, it's till death do you part. Correct? That's the law, unless you get a divorce, and we're not going to go there, okay? All right. So when we marry, it's till death do us part. So that's what he's trying to explain here. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, and we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. What does that mean? Sound like a lot of stuff there. What does that mean? The law of sin has dominion over us as long as we're alive. Just as a wife is bound to her husband by law for as long as he's alive, but if her husband dies, she's no longer bound to him. When Adam and Eve sinned, they took on a sinful nature. Their spirit, before they sinned, was unified with God. There was no partition between God and man. They were one with God. They were so in tune with the Lord. But when they chose to walk in disobedience to the Lord, their nature, their everything, their spirit died, and their whole nature became sinful. And that sinful nature always opposes God. We know that scripture that the flesh is always at war with the spirit. Our sinful nature always opposes God. So you wonder, how come I have so many problems with these things in my life? Well, now you know. Your sinful nature always opposes God. And it's because of what Adam and Eve did, and it just passed on down. So when the law came, when God sent the Ten Commandments and all the other laws to go with it, what the law did, the law was good and it's perfect. But it showed sinful man how really rotten he was. Before the law came along, he may have known he was bad, but he didn't know how bad he was until he saw God's law and his word. And he says, man, oh man, there's no hope for me. And that sin in him automatically wanted to oppose the law, which was good. That's why the sinful nature that we deal with automatically wants to oppose God. It automatically says, rejects the word of God, and automatically says, no, I'm not going there. I want to do things my way. The sinful man wants to do his things his way. Can we all agree on that? All right. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Something happened, though. God knew that we were going to have a trouble with sin in our lives. He just sent the law. Now, the law, you know, people say, you know, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Well, that's not correct, really. If you got to really realize what you're saying. The law is good. We are not under the curse of the law. We're not under the curse of the law because God has made Jesus a curse to be for us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, he who knew no sin. Now, who's that talking about? Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for who? For us. That we may be made the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin, put it to death, so we're no longer married to sin. Now, I want to give you an example here. And the reason I'm going here is because you've got to see who you are in Christ Jesus. You've got to see a new image of yourself in order for you to break down the strongholds in your life. You've got to realize that, okay, I need your help, Adam. Why don't you come up here? All right. I may need several people helping too, so get ready. All right. We're gonna have Adam be Jesus right now, okay? On second thought, we're going to have you be sin, okay? Right. He got a little bit too prideful there. I just took him down a notch. You know? Okay. He's going to be my sin, okay? And when I came into this world, I had a sinful nature. I mean, that's just part of it, okay? Everybody that's born in this world has a sinful nature because of what Adam and Eve did. So everywhere I went, what went with me? And did sin try to tell me what to do? Even if I wanted to go this way, sin was trying to take me that way, you know? And I was like, okay, I got to go this way. All right, so my sin is just always there. But this scripture here, stay there. This scripture here said that he who knew no sin was made to be sin. John, I want you to stand up here behind him, please. Jesus Christ, I want you to picture Adam here as your sin. He's your sin, he's my sin, he's everybody's sin, okay? I want you to picture him, and Jesus Christ became our sin. So stand with your arm, you can do, yeah, feels good. He became our sin on that cross. Every bit of our sin became Jesus Christ. He didn't know any sin. He never sinned in his life. But the sin that you've done in your life, the past, present, and future, became Jesus. Do you see that? Jesus became your sin. All right, Romans 7:6 says, but now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would have not known sin except through the law, but I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. All right, what I'm really trying to say here, okay, is that Jesus became my sin when Jesus died on that cross. What died with him? All of our sin died with him. All right. When Jesus rose from the dead, did he raise with sin? Jesus rose without any sin on him. Did we rise with Jesus? It says here that we might be made the righteousness of God. When Jesus Christ rose, he did away. He put to death our sin. I'm sorry, Adam, but you're dead. You're dead. And Jesus put to life the Spirit. He put to life the Spirit so that all of those who believe what Christ has done, that he put to death their sin, we are raised up in Jesus, new spiritual beings. Our whole spirit man is made new again. Thank you, guys. It's made new again. Jesus Christ has made us a new creature in him. I'm getting ahead of myself and all my notes and everything. We've got to get rid of the old way of thinking. We've got to get rid of the thinking that says that sin is always a part of me. Because Jesus said, no, I put to death your sin. You've been made a new spirit being. Now, our flesh, our bodies, and our mind did not go to the cross with Jesus. The Bible says that we have to renew our mind and put to death the deeds of our flesh, because they're always opposing the new spirit man, the new who we are in Christ. We've got to get to the place where we live according to the Spirit. In Romans 8:13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. God is saying when he rose from the dead, when Jesus rose from the dead, he's given us all the power that was available to him on this earth. And even after in heaven, he's given us all the power to live a life conforming to the new creature that God has made us. We are new creatures in Christ. We were married to sin at one time. Before we accepted Christ, we were married to sin. Sin told us what to do. If you've ever been married and you've got, say, you're a woman and you've got the husband's name, what happens with that? I mean, everywhere you go, everybody considers you part of him. Like if you're a Rockefeller, if I was Mrs. Rockefeller, if I went places, would people recognize me by my name? Would they give me anything I wanted pretty much? Pretty much because of that name. Well, when I had sin, I didn't have such a good name, did I? When sin was in my life, I followed after sin. I did what sin wanted me to do. But now that husband of mine, that sin, is dead. I'm no longer legally bound to him. Can you see that? Can you see that the devil has no legal right to you anymore through your sin? Even though you may still continue to sin after you're a Christian, the blood continually cleanses us, people. We got to realize that. The blood is a continual cleanser. If we repent to God and turn to him, he will continually cleanse us with his blood. We've got to begin to see ourselves not married to sin anymore, but married to Jesus Christ. And with Jesus, we get his name that is above every name. The devils tremble at that name. We are children, and you know, the Bible calls us the bride of Christ. It also calls us the body of Christ. Amen. When you get married, you become one. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become one with Jesus. Amen. We become one with Jesus. We are married to Jesus. We are his bride. Therefore, everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. He has given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. His name is all that we need. His word is who he is. This is his word. The word of God is who Jesus Christ is. And his word has all the power in it that we need to transform our lives, to get rid of the strongholds, to get rid of the roadblocks in our lives that are causing us not to move forward in God. We've got to realize that Christ is real. His blood is real, and he is all powerful. Hallelujah. That is a hallelujah. Praise God. He is all powerful. There is nothing that Christ has not given us. It says that everything that belongs to Christ is now ours. Everything that belonged to Jesus Christ is ours. How did he walk this earth when he walked? Did he walk in victory? Did he walk with mighty power and authority? Do we bear his name? As a child of God, do we bear the name of Jesus? Should we be walking in power and authority? We should be. But before we can walk in power and authority over other people's lives, we got to see what's in our own life that is blocking us and hindering us from moving forward with God. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to read your marriage covenant. You've been married to Jesus. Now you open up your marriage covenant. Find out what God has given you. Find out who you are in Christ. Find out that you have power and authority over that sin that keeps trying to raise itself from the dead. keeps trying to attach itself to you, but you don't have to put up with that, because God's word, his name, his Holy Spirit, his blood is all that you need to tell that sin to shut up. It has no power over you anymore. I don't care what you've got in your done in your life. I don't care what sins you've committed in your life. They are under the blood, and Christ has given you the power and the victory over it. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care what you've done. God knows what you did when you got saved. It says, while you were yet sinners, he died for you. He knew all the things you were going to do, and he still wanted to die for you. I don't care what you've done. You may have done some really horrible things. It doesn't matter. It's Jesus took it, buried it, and he still wants to marry you. He still wants you to be his bride. He wants to be one with you. He wants you to abide in him. Become one in him. Not two separate beings anymore. He wants you to be one. Hallelujah. We've got to quit dragging around those dead husbands. They get stinky. They get smelly. They get rotten. They can mess up your life pretty good. But when you said, I do accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're now the bride of Christ. You're now the body of Christ. And you have power and authority over everything that the enemy throws your way, over every lie that he's ever spoken to you, over everything that he has said to you in the past that you're no good, that you'll never amount to anything. Those are lies from the enemy. It's a stronghold, and it's broken by the power of his word. Hallelujah. I don't care what you've done. I don't care. God doesn't care, so why should I care? You know? He says it's under the blood. There's nothing that he cannot deal with. You know, if you say, God, I can't do this on my own. Well, good. You're not supposed to. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus gave us his name. He gave us his blood. You know, the life is in the blood. That means that when you got born again, you got a blood transfusion. And all the blood from your ancestors, it doesn't matter who your mom or daddy was. You've got new blood. We've all got the blood of Jesus running through our veins. If you've accepted him. Now, if you haven't, then you need a blood transfusion. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord is distressing to me to tell you that quit listening to the lies of that dead husband. Quit listening to the lies of that sin that was put to death by Jesus and telling you that you can't move forward in God because you've got this problem, you've got that problem, and you're no good at this, and you'll never amount to anything. Quit listening to that. Quit listening to the lies that said, well, you don't know what I've done. They've been really bad things. There's no way that God would forgive me. Quit listening to that lie. It's a stronghold that's going to keep you from moving forward in God. Hallelujah. You know, you say, well, how do I get rid of these strongholds? I mean, I'm realizing, are you getting a new vision of yourself, of who you are in Christ? Are you getting a new vision of the power that God has given you? Because, you know, the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in every believer. Think about that. That power that raised Christ from the dead had to go to hell, had to defeat all of the enemy. Including death itself. That power that was used to raise Jesus up is living inside of us. We got to quit limiting ourselves and saying, I can't do this, I can't do that. And we've got to begin to see ourselves differently, see ourselves a new creature in Christ, see ourselves married to Jesus, and see ourselves whenever that sin comes haunting or knocking at our door, we use the word of God against it. We use his name. We use the blood of Jesus. Whatever it takes, we just use it. And that, guess what? It has to bow. That sin has to go back in that grave. Are you seeing that? You had to get a vision of yourself in Christ. You had to get a new vision of who you are before you can break down any strongholds. Now you say, well, how do I break down strongholds? I'm going to just go quickly. I'm going to tell you real quick how you break down strongholds in your life. Remember we said you have to read your marriage covenant. What is your marriage covenant? The Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God, you don't know what's yours, do you? And the Bible says you're not just to read it, you're to meditate on it. You're to know it in your mind and in your heart. Because it's as you know it in your mind and in your heart that you'll begin to use it. And you'll begin to speak it. And you'll begin to declare it. And it will begin to change things in your life. The things in my life I told you about, worry and fear, the only way I got rid of those things. Now, we can pray the prayer of faith. You can have somebody, a child of God, pray over you and deliver you and set you free from any bondage there is. It can be anything. It can be a bad temper. It can be maybe you've got a problem with looking on the internet at things you shouldn't look at. You know, maybe you've got a problem with some kind of addiction of nicotine or drugs or alcohol, whatever it is. You can be prayed for and you can be delivered and set free. Praise God for that. But how do you maintain it? How do you stay free when that sin comes knocking and says, oh, don't you want this little cigarette? Don't you just hate a little stick like that telling you how to live and what to do? You've got to know that, you know, the Bible says that when a demon is cast out of a person, that it goes roaming. It's cast out and it's roaming. It's looking everywhere. You know, it says, man, I've been thrown out of my house. I can't believe that. Where am I going to live now? And he begins to look all over the place. And you know what? He's not finding anything. He says, you know what? I'm just going to go back and see if my house is, if anybody's living in it right now. So he goes back to that same person that he came out of. And he finds out if they've got anything in them. In other words, are they filled up with God? If they're filled up with the Word. And then when he comes a knocking and says, knock, knock, knock. And he says, do you remember me? Do you remember you got this desire? I know you do. I know you got this desire to go do this certain thing. And I know you really want to do it. And if that person isn't filled up with God, they'll say, you know, I do. I have a strong desire. I have a strong desire for cigarettes. I haven't smoked in months. But I just got to have one. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And they just keep going and keep going. And then pretty soon they'll pick up that cigarette and they'll begin to smoke it. And they were delivered from that. But the Bible says if that demon comes and finds that house full, in other words, when it comes knocking and it says, okay, you really want this cigarette. I know you do. I know you do. Please, you want this cigarette. You got to picture the demons doing this. They're begging you to take them back. And you say, absolutely not. In the name of Jesus, that power has been broken over me. I speak the blood of Jesus over my mind, over my body, over everything about me. And I command you, thought, to go away. I will not have anything to do with you. And if that happens, what do you think the demon's going to do? He's going to run. He's going to run. He'll try to find someone else. But you know what? He'll wait some time longer. He'll come back again. He'll wait some time longer. He'll come back again. You've got to stay full of God. You want to get rid of the strongholds in your life? Stay full of God and His Word. You've got to know the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God. You got to meditate on it. You got to begin to let it go down into your system, into your spirit, into your mind, everything. It's got to become a part of you so that when things come, things happen, you got the Word to back you up. You got Jesus' name to back you up. You got His blood to back you up. You know, people say, well, I just can't read. I'm just not a reader. Make yourself read. Remember, the flesh is always at war with the spirit. Make yourself read. Make yourself meditate on the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, this right here is just confessions. Pages and pages of confessions of God's Word. It's God's Word put it in a form where I can speak it over myself. Somebody took the time out to look at all of these confessions and look them up and write them down. How diligent are you to want the Word to work in your life? Do you want it bad enough to where you want to examine God's Word? You want to study God's Word? You want to put it in your heart? You want to meditate on it? The first one here. I am the body of Christ. My body is the house of God. God lives in me and I belong to Him. I've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. So I glorify God in my body and in my spirit. That's several scriptures just mixed together. Here's one from Colossians 1:13. Satan has no power over me. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son. I use that all the time. I'll say, I'll even, when I'm praying, I'll stand there and I'll say, God, I was translated from the kingdom of darkness. I'm in the kingdom of light now. The devil has no power over me, no authority over me. All right, I'm going to wrap up here because I know I'm getting kind of lengthy. But listen, I'm telling you something. When I had that fear in my life, and it was a stronghold, a big, huge stronghold in my life, I had to take the word of God and I had to chip away at that stronghold in my life and those bricks. Sometimes you may get that stronghold knocked down with one kick. That wall, whole wall is gone down. But you got to stay full of God. You got to stay full of his word. There's coming a time, people, God wants us to move forward in him. He doesn't want us to have any stronghold stopping us. He wants us to be able to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. He wants us to be able to lay hands on those that don't have the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit just fill them to overflowing. God wants us to walk in power and in might. But until we see who we are in Christ Jesus, we will never get there. Until we see, hallelujah, that sin has been killed, it's dead in our lives, and it has no reign over us unless we give it to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word is powerful. We thank you that your word is mighty. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing impossible to us that would believe in your word, that believe what Christ has done. There's nothing impossible to us because the blood of Jesus has given us life in every area, Father God. We thank you for that new marriage covenant. We thank you for that new marriage contract that we have with Jesus. Lord, help us to understand all that we have in Jesus. Bring enlightenment. Let us go forward in power and move quickly, Lord, in this end time to bring the harvest in. Father God, not just to bring the harvest in, but to glorify the name of Jesus through everything that we do, everything that we say. Let your power, let your anointing, let your signs and wonders become evident in our life right now in Jesus' name. I don't care what we're going through, God. We're going to glorify you in the midst of our storms. We're going to glorify you no matter what we're going through, because we know that, Lord, when we glorify you, when we live in you, you're going to give us the victory. Hallelujah. We have the victory. Say, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come on up and play? Hallelujah. We praise the name of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus. You know, I just can't stress enough. This is the last day. This is the last day. We got to make a quick move. We got to hurry up and get these things out of our lives so that we can hurry up and go forward. Quit listening to the lies. We got to go forward. There's a mighty work to do. You know it, John, don't you? You feel it in your heart. You feel it in your spirit. I mean, my hands are shaking from the Holy Spirit right now. But I mean, I'm telling you, there's a mighty work, and God is calling out. And people, we've got to be able to pray with power and break the strongholds of the enemy over our area. There's a blindness. Have you not seen it? There's a deafness. And God says, though, I am more powerful than anything that's going on. But until you see yourself as a new creature in Christ Jesus, you'll never pray my will. You'll never do my will. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oops. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your hands and begin to praise him right now. Father, we praise the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the precious name of Jesus that was given to us. And Lord, you gave us a blank check with the name of Jesus. You said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, I just thank you right now. I just ask that you administer to everyone here, that all the scales are broken, they're taken off of their eyes, and they begin to see. They begin to see the truth, that they are one with you, that you have not withheld anything from them. You have given them power. You've given them authority over everything of the enemy. You've given them what it needs to take place in this last days, Father God, to move forward in you. And right now, I'm just going to ask, if there's anybody here that says, Lord, I want to move forward in you. I want strongholds to be taken out of my life. I want more of you. I want more of your power, more of your love, more of your anointing in my life. If that's you, just come on up. Come on up. Hallelujah. And just make a public declaration to God that I want you, Lord. Lord, let me see the vision that you have for me. Let me see what you've got for me. Let me see the things that you want me to do. Hallelujah. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you need that power, or maybe you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but you need a refilling. When I come by and I'm going to pray for each one of you, you tell me that you want more of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for more. Because the Bible says you're not filled once. It's a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. Because as you are filled, you give out. And you need to be refilled again so you can give out some more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother and Sister Miller, if you can come on up and maybe just begin.